sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
Thank you, Lord. I pray that you will touch the hearts of your people. I pray in the name of Jesus that the word of God will fall on good soil. I pray, oh God, that the word will not be choked by the cares and pleasures and deceitfulness of this world. I pray that the word will not be short-lived because it doesn't fall on good ground. I pray, oh God, that the birds of the air shall not come and take this word away, but that the seed of your word will penetrate the soil of our hearts, that your word will yield much fruit with much patience. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. You are the one who works in us to will and to do. I pray that this come mightily like never before. I ask for an anointing that has never been over this vessel. I pray that you will pour out your anointing out of this vessel. I pray for a cleansing of this vessel that it might be meet for the master's use. Thank you that your will be done, that Jesus will be lifted up, and we shall be drawn unto him. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you about when God doesn't make sense. When God doesn't make sense. 1 Kings chapter 19. It's a famous story. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're reading from verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, "Arise, eat." Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Hallelujah. When God doesn't make sense. Now, we all know how great a prophet Elijah was. But when you read the chapter before, that's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. It came about at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that thou, O Lord, art God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Then Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kidron and slew them there. Now Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And then verse 44, and it came about at the seventh time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go down, so that the heavy shower does not stop you. So it came about in a little while that the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. Hallelujah. Sometimes in our walk with God, we have to realize that there will be highs and there will be lows. And most lows will come after the highest points in our lives. And when you look at Elijah's life, the book of Hebrews says that Elijah was a man of like passions, that he prayed and the heavens were shut for 3.5 years. That's a powerful man of God. And he personally took on 400 prophets of Baal. And at this time, every prayer that he prayed, God answered. He said, Lord, let them see that you are God. But not only that, that I am your person. Also where I am. So because of that, send fire to consume this place, this altar that I've built, and I've put water on it. Send fire. And how many of us know that fire and water don't mix? And as he prayed that prayer, the Bible says that immediately fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the wood, the stones, even the dust. That's a powerful man who knows God and walks with God. And then after that, he commands the king of Israel that go home and eat. He was a man with great authority. And when he said to Ahab, go home and eat, the Bible says Ahab obeyed, as if he was rather under Elijah. And he went and he ate. And Elijah said, there's going to be rain. But as Ahab went to eat, he went to see God's face. And when he went, he would send the servant, go and see. The servant would say, there's no darkness in the cloud. And the seventh time, the servant came and said, there's a little darkness like a man's fist. And then Elijah said to Ahab, go ahead because the rain is coming. And it all happened. What a great man of God. And we ourselves, in our walk with God, have had fantastic moments like that. Especially when you first got born again. It looked like all your prayers were being answered by God. There are times when the times are so good, you say, oh, God loves everybody, but as for me, he loves me specially. And I'm special. Hallelujah. And so when you have slain 400 prophets, and when you have told the whole Israel that seize the prophets and kill them, and they just obey because of the miracles that have happened, after that, the Bible says that Ahab went to tell his wife Jezebel what had happened. And Jezebel did not even come in person, but he sent a message to this great man of God, that the Lord do something to me if by tomorrow I don't kill you. That's Elijah who outran the chariots because the hand of the Lord came upon him. After this mountain experience, he goes into the valley. And I came to tell you that in your walk with God, there will be mountains and there will be valleys. There will be summer and there will be winter. There will be day and there will be night. No matter how great you are, no matter the anointing on your life, no matter the exploits that God uses you for, if you are to continue walking with God, there will be valleys. Every time has its season. And the Bible says that so far as we are in this body, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, they will never change. That's God's promise. But most of us, we want to always live on the mountain top. And we always want to be on Mount Carmel. And always want to see God's spectacular things. But many times, from the highest point of when you have your greatest victory, it's also the time of your greatest temptation. Hallelujah. So when Jezebel brings this message, This man of God does not stay in the city. He runs for his life. You wonder, 400 prophets against one woman. And even the woman doesn't come personally. It's her messenger. And that makes you run so much. Just a threat. You have spoken to the king, the one who has the authority. And you have told him, go and eat, go and do this. He has obeyed all. And his wife, who is not even, says that, the Lord do so to me and more if I don't finish you by tomorrow. A woman, you are a man. And a woman makes such a threat and you run for your life. And that is when sometimes God doesn't make sense. Because he will use you for spectacular things. You will see him in your life in very great ways. But at other times, closely following on the heels of that great success, there will come a place that you don't understand. The Bible says when that happened, Elijah ran for his life. And when he ran for his life, he was with his... And what he did was he left the tent at Beersheba. Most of the times when you are going through your valley, that's the time when you need somebody most. But that's the time when you don't feel like being with anybody. That's the time when you are likely to leave your servant at Beersheba and move on. Because Satan lies to us. Satan ministers to us. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. And the person who should be with you rather becomes as a burden. The church becomes a burden. Your pastor becomes a burden. The one who can speak into your life becomes a burden. That phone call that will encourage you becomes a burden. So you drop all of them at Beersheba. Hallelujah. So we have to know at the times when God doesn't make sense, God does not intend to be alone. Amen. There may be alone times of personal Bible study, seeking God's face, but you need the brethren. We need one another. You need somebody who is stable at the time, because sometimes you are emotionally distraught. You see, and Elijah is so, I think, discouraged. That he says that, let me die. I am not better than my fathers. But if you want to die, you should leave yourself for Jezebel to finish you. But you run away. So even in our walk, we have contradictory emotions, contradictory thoughts, and our things are not clear. Hallelujah. And the let me die, he was telling God, let me die. I'm not better than my fathers. Why should God kill you when Jezebel is ready? God has raised somebody to kill you, and now you say that he should let you die. How will he do it? You should have stayed there so that Jezebel will get you. You know, but these are all reasons why we need people in our lives at that time. Because your mind doesn't work right. Your emotions go haywire. You are not on the right route. Although you are still a Christian, you are still a child of God, you are still a powerful man of God. But everybody has his moment. Hallelujah. And the prophet of God goes and he sits on a juniper tree of no consequence. And he says, let me die. I'm not better than my fathers. And as he sits there, then he decides to sleep. One of the most tempting things is to withdraw from service of God, to withdraw from ministry, to withdraw from being involved. Because in our hearts, when we walk in those low places, we feel that God is ungrateful. After all these years that I've served him, after standing as one man against the whole of Israel, after all that I have done, he does not shield me from Jezebel, but he allows Jezebel to come my way. I've come to see that it is true, that God's ways are not our ways. And then our thoughts are not his thoughts. Because if our thoughts were his thoughts, it would be a terrible thing. Hallelujah. But God uses our low moments to make us draw closer to him. And God has a purpose. It's the raw material he uses. It is not pleasant. The Bible says no chastening, for the time that it lasts seemeth pleasant. But afterwards, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So nobody will come and then say, oh God, try and cane me a few times. Oh God, try and bring bad times. I mean, we're all human. Nobody likes that. Even Jesus, the Son of God, when he goes away, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Jesus' death was a cup. Some of you, your small trial, you think it's a bucket. It's only a cup. Hallelujah. And as he sleeps, the Bible says the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, arise. I've come to see that there are times when, you know, maybe you are in a ship. You've done all that you want to do so that the ship will not sink or go in a certain direction. It's still going. So they just leave the ship and it just runs according to the wind, the weather, and all that. And sometimes in our lives, that is the point where we get to. But our God does not leave us alone. Elijah did not pray for angels. In fact, if he had prayed, he may not have known what prayer topic to pray. And sometimes when you are walking in your valley and God doesn't make sense, you may not know what exactly to ask him for. But our Father knows what you need. Hallelujah. And sometimes we make Christianity to be like everything depends on us. And everything depends on our effort. And everything depends on how good we are at drawing nigh to God. But there's a place that God just becomes God to you. Without your effort, without your input, and without your consultation. Hallelujah. So as Elijah slept, he felt he was sleeping. But God sent an angel to set up a catering company in the desert. Hallelujah. And then the angel woke him up. Arise. Eat, for the journey waits. Elijah had not then decided even the journey he was going to take. And he had not decided which direction he was going to go in. But our omnipotent and sovereign God knew. And God woke him up in his own time. And God prepared a table before him in his own time. Because Elijah could not take care of himself. As you walk with God, you will get to places where you cannot take care of yourself. You will apply all the marriage principles. It won't work. You will apply all the principles of ministry. It won't work. You will apply all the principles of prayer. It won't work. It won't work not because it's false, but because God will bring you to the end of yourself. Because most of you, you are used to energy, strength. But the Bible says it is of the mercies of God that we are not consumed. It's not of our own doings and making sure that we are not consumed, but his mercies alone provide that we are not consumed. So Elijah wakes up and then he eats. As you walk in your valley, as you come to the point where God does not make sense, you must still maintain a spirit of obedience, because God will send direction and help in different ways. But if you are so obsessed with sleeping, when the angel wakes you up, you will hit his hand. Instead of seeing the angel as somebody or something that God has sent your way. But in spite of his depression, in spite of the fact that from a high mountain experience, he had suddenly fallen so low, Elijah still knew that he had to just obey. Sometimes people say, "But Lady Pastor, what about if I don't feel like it? What do I do if I don't feel like doing the things that I think God, you know, somehow you don't feel like coming to church?" But don't walk by your feelings. Because the Holy Spirit will be drawing you nigh. You know, sometimes you come to church so discouraged that you don't feel like coming. But when you come, you are glad you came. Hallelujah. When you come, sometimes the worship, the praise, something will bring healing in your life. Sometimes the message is not even about your issue, but a sentence in it will just give you direction for where you want to go. But many times, that is the place where we don't feel like going to. The house of God is the place. And sometimes it is because we feel that Christians also have offended us. And the people who are annoying you the most are in the church. So you say, "I'd rather go and sit at, don't mind your wife, chop bar. I'd rather go here. I will not go and sit amongst these hypocrites." But whatever you do, we are your brothers and your sisters, and you can't get rid of us. Hallelujah. And whatever you do, the church is an imperfect place, because it's made of imperfect vessels that God has poured his Holy Spirit into. So then Elijah gets up and he eats. Then he goes to bed again, still in activity. He's not willing for anything. And that, I hear medically, is a very major sign of depression and hopelessness. When you don't want to do anything, lack of activity, lack of enthusiasm for life, you don't have zeal for anything. So he sleeps again, and then the angel wakes him up again and says that what you have eaten is not enough. You need to eat more. Some of us, we will obey once, but we may not obey throughout. But if you walk with God in the times when it doesn't make sense, you have to continue to obey. You see, God always gives us a series of things to do, but he shows us maybe one at a time. Because if he shows us everything, we'll look and say, from here to here, it's very far. I can't go. I can't make it. The Bible says that God did not lead the people of Israel by the short route, because he knew that if he did, they would lose their faith. They would lose heart. So there was a shorter route through the wilderness, but he didn't choose that way for his people, because he wanted them to stay healthy and to stay in his presence. Hallelujah. So Elijah gets up again and eats again. Some of you would have said, angel, you are worrying me. Can't you see that I don't feel like doing anything? And people say, what should I do, Lady Pastor? I don't feel like this. I don't feel like that. I always say, those are your emotions. So remove the E and go through the motions. And the E will follow. Hallelujah. Remove the E that makes it emotions. And just go through the motions of, you know. Sometimes you say, I don't feel like listening to this word. Because when you listen, it will change your mind. It will change your mind about how you feel. And then you feel like sitting in that situation. You know? So just be open to the Holy Spirit when God does not make sense. Don't use your logic. Don't use your limited worldly wisdom. Use the Spirit of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when you don't have any strength of your own, when you don't know what to do, he has said that he will never leave you, he will forsake you. You know, I also had lonely moments in my life. And I've had moments when God has not made sense. Especially for instance, when we had our problems at Kolegono. I mean, we have everything to follow you, like Peter would say. And then we come on a Sunday, you allow fetish to attack us. I mean, why don't you show your power that you are greater than the fetish priest? You know, and then the people misbehaving in the area, they are insulting us, setting bonfires, throwing bombs into Bishop's office. They are very rude and all that. I came 131st night, fires lit all around the church. And then on the day that we're supposed to ordain pastors, to expand the ministry, to send them more into your vineyard, that is the day you leave us to fetish, to misbehave and do what they like. And then we have very great prayer meetings. And we pray Psalm 35 over these very stubborn boys who are growing fatter and bigger. And up to today, Bishop says, they are still alive and fat. But a few weeks ago, as we sat in the Kodesh, and we were to dedicate the Jesus Cathedral, if at that morning came to church, I was listening to one of the Makanes, and Bishop, I think it was an Aloskam, was telling the young people, God will be good to you. God will be faithful. Don't be afraid. God will be good to you. And as I listened to that portion, just lying in bed and sort of getting psyched up to get up and come to church, so God will be good to you. I started to think about it and I said, God has been good to me beyond my dreams. He's been good to me beyond my prayer topics. He's been good to me beyond my imagination. I said, God, that verse that says that you are able to do far more exceedingly than we imagine or think, it is real. Because your imagination, as you are standing in Kolegono, will never let you dream up the Kodesh. How? It will not come on the horizon of your mind. You know, and I said, God, you have taught me something about trials and temptations. In fact, since we went through that time, I think I have matured and I've developed muscles. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I see and I say, oh, you know, you will cry. You will be broken. you'll be discouraged, you'll have questions, God will not make sense. But at the end of the day, you'll come through. Bottom line. And as I was thinking about that, I couldn't help but just start weeping at God's faithfulness. I said, oh, the way you took us, I couldn't see. It was confusing. It was sorrowful. You didn't make sense at a point. And it was a journey. It wasn't like one day, then it's over. So many things. Amen. So the Lord says, rise, Elijah, eat and drink, for the journey is too great for you. You know that the Bible says, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. And that with every temptation, He will provide the way of escape. So sometimes things come to us and we hear ourselves say, it's too much. God, too much. I've reached the end of my rope. It's too much. At that time, you must remember this verse. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So you think it's too much. He knows that He has given you sufficient grace for that sufficient trial. Hallelujah. So Elijah gets up and God says, Elijah starts to go on the journey without asking God in which direction he should go. Then comes to Elijah and says, Elijah, where are you going? 1 Kings 19 will be ending soon. Verse 8 says, he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah?
Elijah, what are you doing?
And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken the covenant, torn down thine altars and killed thy prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. You see, God gave him food for that journey, but he did not ask God for direction into which direction should I go? Where are you leading me to? He just got up and started walking. And then went to the Mount of Horeb, whatever. He lodged there. You know, so even though God had fed him, he still hadn't overcome whatever it was that he was going through in his valley. And so God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Have I sent you here? Many times in your walk with God, you will take destinations and routes that God has not sent you on. Because that will be your natural inclination. You say, after all, I've served him. Look at other people. They don't serve him. They've done all sorts of things. And they have twins. And I have served you for 25 years. And every miscarriage, one child cry, I don't have. Other people, you give them and they even abort it. Me, I don't walk that way. And yet, you don't even bother. What kind of God are you? What kind of God are you? You leave the decibels in our lives. You leave the things that disturb us and distract us. And you don't show your power. You show your power on Mount Carmel. When it comes to Jezebel, you leave me at her pleasure. It's like, Jezebel should just misbehave. But I realize that even God allows things against himself for his sovereign purpose. Because I was having my quiet time in the book of Revelations, and it said that some prophets will come, and the beast that will arise out of the sea, it has seven heads. And on each head, blasphemous names against God. And when it comes, it will with its tongue make war against God and say all sorts of things for 42 days. And it is after that that God will send some wild prophets to do so. I realize that even though he's sovereign, even though he's in control, he also allows unfortunate situations to happen in his case. Hallelujah. He doesn't intervene when people stand and say, there's no God, foolish God. He doesn't intervene because he's God and he knows what he's doing. And so sometimes when he doesn't intervene in your small life, you must know that he allows himself to experience that.
why should he not allow you to experience that? Many times it's true, we should walk by faith. But a dimension of faith is coming to the place like Elijah. You don't have any answers. You don't have any place of escape. You just lift up your eyes and say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's all. Your prayer topic, that's all. Your help comes from God. There's nowhere else to look. So I said, Lady Pastor, there's nothing to rejoice about. You have to go by the psalmist and say, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. No, you can't rejoice in the situation. You can't rejoice. Rejoice in the God of your salvation. And when God asked Elijah, what are you doing here? Instead of answering the question, he was full of complaints. I've served you all these years. I alone am left in Israel. Everybody has bowed their knees to Baal. I alone, he mentioned I and then alone. I'm very special. And the kind of services I'm giving you, God, I thought you would be more grateful than that. But look at how you repay me. And if we'll be frank, all of us come to the point when God does not make sense. God is not fair, and God does not seem to be just, but it's only our judgments. Hallelujah. So he does not answer God's question. What are you doing here? Say, I got up and I just walked. I got up and I wasn't really thinking, so I just, you know? But you don't deal with the issue, and that is how you are when you are going through a valley. That's why you shouldn't make any major decision. Because you are walking anyhow, they ask you questions, you give different answers, your whole mind is not tuned properly. And so in your valley, please, don't go and make some major decisions. I'm packing my things. I'm leaving. I will never come back. Sometimes in the morning, you know, I heard Joel Osteen's father say some years ago, John Osteen, that sometimes in the morning, when he quarrels with his wife, he feels like locking her up in the wardrobe and going for the rest of the day. But then when he comes in the afternoon sometimes, and then he sees her, he feels like carrying her with him. Everyone says, thank God he doesn't answer some foolish prayers. Because sometimes when you are somewhere, you are likely to say foolish prayers. And when God said to Elijah, where are you going? He doesn't know where he's going. He's walking anyhow. He has no direction. He has left his servant. The servant who can tell you, oh, master, this place you are walking, it's not the usual. We are lost. We need to retrace us. You have left the servant at Beersheba. You have left your pastor. You have left your church. You have left your shepherd. You have left your counselor. You have left the person who can exhort you. You have left them. And now you have come to a cave and you have lodged there. A prophet. Is that your calling? To lodge in cages and caves? And then God says, I'm going to show you something. And the Bible says, there's a great wind. And Elijah says, I'm very familiar with God. There's nothing new that he does that I don't know. Surely, he's going to be in the wind. And many of us are presumptuous when we walk with God. And he allows us in the valley so that we'll see another side of him. Hallelujah! The God of the wind, that's all you know. And even when he's changing, you will not allow him to change. When he's showing you another dimension of himself, you are so stuck in your box. God cannot show you anything else. You say, on the day of Pentecost, he came as wind. He can never come in another form. And we can't see it. And we don't recognize him. We are so stuck in our ways that God cannot reach us. And then he comes in the fire. He said, yes. On the day of Pentecost, they came as fire on the tongues of fire on the heads of. I know this thing. That's it. And the Bible says, God was not in fire. But God was in the still small voice. In your walk with God, you will find him in the places you don't expect, in the places you are not used to, in the places you are not tuned to. But it doesn't mean it's not God. It is still God. Hallelujah. It may be a still small voice, but it's still God. Hallelujah. So I think that in my valley, I must pray that God, when it's you, and when it's you, and it's the usual, may I also recognize you. The Holy Spirit has been kicked out of our lives. You know, like Bishop says, we don't use a mobile phone with God. We use the manual. So when he wants to talk to us to change direction, we say, no, you gave us a manual. We are on this route. Don't change anything. That's what we know. But if we are going to walk with God, there will be many, many changes. Sometimes you are doing old things, but he teaches you new ways of doing old things. We have always been used to the pastoral and the apostolic, and when God brings the evangelistic, we may not recognize it. And at that place, we stop growing. So God was in that still small voice. Hallelujah. These days, I see God in so many things. You know, the psalmist says, I saw this and I received instruction. I saw that and I've learned to now pay attention to the little things. Because sometimes I just wake up and somebody's name comes to my mind. I say, oh, I'm just remembering the person. And then maybe I go to work and I hear, oh, this person is very sick. Or this person, oh, so that thought, that flash, it's something seemingly insignificant. It was the Holy Spirit. So nowadays I pray, Holy Spirit, help me to recognize. I realize that you speak to me a lot, but I don't hear most of it. I hear the ones I'm used to. You know, ke bancha banande le mande le bande le skaya. That saith the Lord. Hey! Holy Ghost has come. But when he speaks to you in a still small voice, it's not powerful. Fire and thunder and things. But still small voice. Well, I see a dove. It looks weak. But those are God's ways too. May you recognize the Holy Spirit when he walks with you. Hallelujah. When God does not make sense. Then he said, verse 14, I've been very zealous for the Lord. You know, in verse 13, God comes to ask him again after the thunder and the lightning, what are you doing here, Elijah? Then he says again the same complaint. Nothing has changed. I've been very zealous for the Lord, and I alone am left. And then verse 15, the Lord says to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall come about, the one who escapes from the sword, all that. Hallelujah. Now I realize that God is very patient with us. And anytime God asks you a question more than once, it should make you sit up. So what are you doing here, Elijah? What God is trying to say is, I have not sent you here. You are on your own, but you are not getting it. And you are still complaining. And God has to tell him, I have thousands of prophets who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Many times when God doesn't make sense, we have a very narrow picture. And we feel that that's the picture. But God is sovereign. God sees and knows everything. The Bible says all things are naked unto him with whom we have to do. So God sees that you think you are the only prophet who has not bowed your knees to Baal. And God is saying, I have thousands of others hidden in caves who are serving me faithfully. They are not on television. They are not on radio. They don't have an open Mount Carmel ministry, but they are my servants anyway. So you are just seeing yourself, but I'm seeing the larger picture. And I'm telling you, it's not the way you are seeing it. And when you have that concept, it will make you walk humbly before God. It's not that we have spiritual arrogance because we feel that we know. And we feel that it's this way. He took him up in a chariot of fire. So sometimes when I look at it, I said, maybe God... He took him up in a chariot of fire. So sometimes when I look at it, I said, maybe God was not really angry at Elijah. But God was moving him to another phase of ministry. Where he wasn't going to be the one to do certain things. And now the ministry was going to be split into two. Jehu was going to take the kingly part and Elisha was going to be the one to follow Elijah. And God felt that Elijah's spirit was worth having double of. Hallelujah. When God doesn't make sense, know that he's greater than you. He has a greater master plan, which you cannot see. It takes faith to see that picture.
It takes faith because you have to see the invisible. The eye cannot behold it. But at that time, you are just walking on his word. He said it. He will do it. How he will do it, you don't know. You just know that God will do it. I pray that as you walk on in your Christian life, when you get to a place where the things you've prayed about are not coming, when you get to a place where God seems to have taken you from a high mountain to a low valley, when you get to a place where you feel just like sleeping, withdrawing from ministry, withdrawing from God's service, withdrawing from your walk with him, that is the symptom that you are being led to the next phase of your life and ministry. May you not give up at the wrong place. And when he comes to you in a still small voice, may you recognize him. God bless you and take you on in your walk with him. In Jesus' name, amen.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kaneshi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243-187-900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.